This podcast is brought to you by WRFL, Radio Free Lexington. Find us online at WRFL.fm. Catch us on your FM radio while you're in Central Kentucky at 88.1 FM, all the way to the left. Thank you for listening, and please be sure to subscribe.
Good afternoon, and thank you for tuning in to WRFL Lexington. It's 4 o'clock, and you're listening to Green Talks, where we explore the people and projects that are promoting sustainability in the UK community. I'm your host, Lauren Thomas, and I'm the current Director of Outreach for the Student Sustainability Council. This week, I'm joined by Christy Durbin. She is the Manager for the Community Supported Agriculture Program here at UK. Thanks so much for coming on.
Thank you for having me, Lauren.
Absolutely. So can you give us a general overview about what Community Supported Agriculture is?
Absolutely. So a community-supported agriculture program is geared towards helping connect farmers to their customers in a way that's mutually beneficial for both. So what we do is we get the money up front from our customers, and then we provide them vegetables throughout our growing season. So every single week that we deliver, they're getting a big, bountiful bushel of fresh local vegetables. And so it's a great model because it helps us have the money up front, which helps us get started in the season with all of our upfront costs. And then during the season, it's great for the members who get all the fresh vegetables, and they're guaranteed to have great food all summer long.
Awesome. So can you give us a general overview about what the UK program looks like?
Sure, absolutely. So we're in our 11th season as a CSA, and we are connected to the College of Agriculture at the University of Kentucky. We have an integral course at the CSA. It's connected to the Sustainable Agriculture Program, SAG 397, that students can take from any major. And that program, it kind of got this CSA off the ground. So we started the CSA as a teaching tool to teach students how to grow food and how to bring it to the customers. And now it's kind of expanded from that point. So at this point, we have over 200 members, and we deliver food for 22 weeks, starting in May, and it runs through October. And it's open to really anyone in the UK community, students, staff, and faculty.
Awesome. So what kind of foods do you grow, and what do you deliver?
Yeah, a lot of different varieties. I think that that's what's so interesting about a CSA is not only is it fresh and local and organic, but we are also getting to expand people's horizons and teach them about new foods that they might not normally have picked up at the store. So it's going to be seasonal, which means that that kind of dictates what you're going to be able to bring to your customers. Mm-hmm. But in the spring, you'll see lettuce and greens and spinach, kohlrabi. And then in the midsummer, you're going to have your staples, the tomatoes and the green beans and the corn, the squash. And then in the fall, we move into winter squash, potatoes, sweet potatoes, more greens, broccoli, that sort of thing.
So what is the history of the program? It's a pretty long-running program. You said it was in the 11th year. Can you tell us how it kind of got started and how it's changed since then?
Sure. Well, it got started, like I said, 11 years ago. Dr. Mark Williams in the College of Agriculture has kind of spearheaded this program from its inception, and it's really been part of the Sustainable Ag degree program. And so we kind of wanted to really train the next generation of farmers, and that's really what we wanted to do out there, and to do it such in a way that it's sustainable. So that's truly taking care of the environment, taking care of our community, taking care of our farmers. And so that was our goal. And it's kind of expanded. It started out very small, a lot of hand tools, small membership. And we've kind of grown, got increasingly mechanized. At this point, we cultivate about 10 to 12 acres, and we have about a staff of about 5 people in the summer. And we usually have anywhere between 8 and 20 students each summer coming out on the farm as an apprentice.
Awesome. So what would you say is your long-term hope for the program?
Right. That's a great question. there's so many ways to think about the goals of our local food system and how mm-hmm. we can contribute to that. Obviously, we're a land-grant university at the UK. I think that's a great platform for us to really be an influence in the community, to be a model farm, and to teach the next generation of farmers. So I'd really love to see how this program, the CSA, can continue to grow, continue to be a platform for training the next generation of farmers. I also see how we can continue to educate our community, how to value good food, how to value local food, how to value their farmers that are working in their communities. So I'd love to see not only support for our program, but support for all farmers in this region as a result of what we're doing out there, and that we can continue to teach new farmers and teach people how to really understand the challenges that farmers face and how to embrace and support them.
Awesome. So you guys just received a grant from the Student Sustainability Council for a really awesome project. For any listeners who might not be familiar with the Student Sustainability Council, they are a group of students who are in charge of allocating the environmental stewardship fee, which is a fee paid by every UK student every semester for $4 per student. It totals almost $200,000 over the school year, and they allocate money to projects like this one, and this came across our table last week, and we were all really excited about it. So I'd love to hear more about that.
Absolutely. We are really excited about this program. We're excited to partner with the Student Sustainability Council. And I got to also recognize UK Transportation and Walkout Wheels as also partners, co-partners mm-hmm. on this grant, who are also supporting us. It's great to have people behind us that equally passionate, equally care that we, as much as we do, about these issues of sustainability. So the grant itself is to increase our pedal power on the farm. You know, on the farm, we do use tractors, and that requires a lot of fuel to run those tractors. In addition, we use other vehicles on the farm just for day-to-day operations. And our goal is to really kind of push the envelope and see really how far we can take our sustainability efforts. And so in that train of thought, we had this idea of, well, why don't we increase our use of pedal power? Mm-hmm. It's a total natural resource. It's not going to ever diminish. Mm-hmm. So basically, that's the idea. And we recently had a solar panel array installed at the farm. And so we're also getting a front wheel assist on our bicycles. And we can actually charge those with our solar panel array. So in that way, we're actually trying to work towards net zero on the farm and completely have our energy on our organic farming unit to be net zero. And that's a huge challenge. And there's lots of ways in which we have to make compromises in our system with the tractors and the other things we do. But the pedal power is really where it's at. So what we're going to be doing with these funds is purchasing a cargo bicycle, that front wheel assist that we can charge with the solar panel array, and another bicycle along with a trailer that we can haul cargo. So this way, in our day-to-day operations, we really can use them to travel around the farm. I mean, sometimes we're having to traverse, you know, maybe up to a mile. Mm-hmm. So it's still within a defined region, a defined geographic location, but, you know, often you're having to go from one end of the farm multiple times a day back and forth across the farm. And so the idea is being able to use the bikes as simple transportation needs, we can eliminate our use of vehicles. And so we're really excited about that and excited to see how we can implement them as staff and also with our students and really embrace pedal power.
That's fantastic. That's really exciting. So you touched a little bit on the solar panel arrays. Can you give us an idea of what's that been like, what you use that for, and why you wanted it in the first place?
Yeah, you know, it was part of a grant, and it's actually quite new. Mm-hmm. So I would say that it was only installed maybe in the past month and has only been tapped into our electric system in the past month. So mm-hmm. I think it's still something that we're going to see exactly the ramifications of that. Mm-hmm. But to be able to have some data about the possibilities, I think, is really great. The possibilities of being able to run our electric needs on the farm from solar power, I think, is really exciting. So I think we're still going to see in the future what those results are and how that integrates into our system.
Absolutely. So how do you see this project and CSAs in general fitting in with the three spheres of sustainability being people, prosperity, and the planet?
Right. Exactly. So environmental, social, economic, all those things we talk about in sustainability, they all come together in a CSA model. They all come together, you know, with this bike grant as well. You know, from an environmental perspective, our farm is the 10 to 12 acres that we cultivate is a certified organic land. Mm-hmm. And being certified organic with the USDA really constrains our practices in some ways, mm-hmm. So that we are being mindful of how we take care of the earth. So that's super important. And we definitely have to you know, do follow certain practices in order to be organic. And that kind of is a good safeguard for the customer. They kind of know what they're getting. So, but part of being organic is really caring for the soil, caring for the earth, and making sure that we're not taxing it too greatly. So that's definitely an environmental aspect that's great. Using the bikes, likewise, it's going to be a great environmental benefit to reduce those carbon emissions from vehicles. You know, socially, I think it's great what we're doing with the CSA. You know, we're giving a lot of community benefit by providing a source of fresh local food that's organic in our community. I think that's a great boon. We're also building community engagement. We invite people out to our farm. We have potluck events. So we really care about our customers. We care about our members. We really want to engage with them and interact with them and really benefit their lives. And so we really offer other things as part of our CSA that can benefit their families. For example, U-Pick. We have a U-Pick operation. So we like our customers to come out, and they're welcome to come to the farm. They're welcome to see what we're doing and to come out and U-Pick with their families in the summer. So that's another way that we're just kind of trying to engage with the community. As far as economics, you know, I think that ultimately the bottom line is you got to make money as a farmer. And so our customers are helping us to do that. They're helping us to pay our staff. And many of our staff members are former students who went through this program, were apprentices. And now we're just enabling our staff to take their education to the next level as well.
That's awesome. So what sort of campus and community entities do you tend to partner with? I know that you are housed within the College of Agriculture, but are there any sort of partners that just work with you on a basis?
Sure. I mean, I think definitely I aforementioned, you know, Wildcat Wheels. They definitely have something, they've been involved with us. Another one is, you know, Glean Kentucky. Glean Kentucky comes to our farm almost on a weekly basis or twice weekly basis during our growing season. And Glean Kentucky basically is gathering up all of our excess or our seconds that we don't need, and they're able to redistribute that to food banks. And so that's another community partner that we're glad to partner with. And we also do a lot of outreach in the community with extension. We also offer trainings for other farmers in the area and beginner farmer programs, as well as training on good agricultural practices or GAP certification and GAP practices. So there's a lot of things that we're doing out the community, even beyond the scope of the CSA itself.
Cool. So what would you say is your main demographic? I know that you said that it's open to all of the University of Kentucky community, but what's that breakdown like?
I would say it's about 2/3 staff and faculty, mm-hmm. and 1/3 students. Most of the students that are in our program tend to be grad students, and we do have a lot of international students and international faculty involved who really value the food that we're giving. And so that's really neat to see a really diverse group of customers and members that are part of our program. But really, there really isn't one set demographic. You know, it ranges in ages and ethnicities, and that's really what's really a strength of the program, I think, mm-hmm. is that it's such a diverse community of people, but they all share this one common thing, and that is a belief in supporting good local food and local farmers.
Absolutely. So with that, we are actually going to take a quick break, and we'll be right back talking about the UK CSA program. Keep it locked. Welcome back. It's now 4:15, and you're listening to WRFL Lexington. I'm Lauren Thomas, the current Director of Outreach with the Student Sustainability Council, and I am joined by Christy Durbin. She's the manager out at the Community Supported Agriculture Program here at UK. So would you mind speaking a little bit to any new developments that have come up recently or that are in the works at the farm?
Sure, absolutely. One of the things we started in the past 2 years was we started a farm stand. So we found that a lot of people, you know, were interested in membership, and then there's some people that weren't ready to commit to the amount of food that we are able to give out, or maybe they just weren't able to get as a part of our membership in the beginning stages. So they would come up to our market and they'd say, well, you know, I'd like to buy some food. So as a result of that interest, we just sort of became running a farm stand on the side. So even if you're not a CSA member, you can come to our farm stand. We operate the farm stand on UK campus as well as at the farm. And our pickups are on Thursdays, and we run the farm stand also on Thursdays. It'll be from 4 to 6 p.m. And we set up across from the Commonwealth Stadium. We set up in the parking lot by the ES Good Barn. And so anyone in the community, really, it's really not just UK, but anyone can come up and buy items a la carte. And that's a neat way for us to just kind of continue to reach out into the community and put good food in people's hands. So that's one thing that's been new in the past year or two that's been really exciting for us to see as we continue to grow, as the interest in local food grows, that we're able to try to meet that demand.
Awesome. So what would you say the student involvement pattern is like? I know that you said that a lot of the students staff the farm and that there's a class, but how many students are involved with it and what are they doing?
Good question. So the course, SAG 397, is an apprenticeship program open to any major. And students are out there on the farm weekly in the summer for class, where they're going to learn all about different topics related to farming. And those class times are usually last about 2 to 3 hours. And then after that, they put in time learning how to actually work on the farm, put in labor hours, everything from planting to weeding to harvesting and to distributing our food to our members. And so they really get to be a part of the entire process. And so on any given day at the farm, you know, we might have a very large group or we might have a small group, but it'll fluctuate based on demand, based on interest, and based on, you know, who's available that day. But we try to be as flexible as we can for the students, recognize that they have their own demands and their own schedule. So we try to be as flexible as we can. A lot of times we do have other visitors in the community come out and join us, other alums or other students who just want to be a part of what we're doing out there. So we really like to engage with the students. That's really a focus and a priority for us.
Absolutely. So how common would you say are CSA programs on other college campuses?
Yeah, great question. You know, I can't speak for all colleges in America. But from my understanding, you know, I think that we have a really unique program. We are a land-grant university. And so with that, I think we are able to be a voice in our community, be an example, and set the standard, really, for what a CSA could look like and how you could operate it. There are definitely CSAs at other college campuses, but a lot of the programs I see at other universities, even at other land-grant universities, a lot of times the farms simply supply food for their dining halls or their mm-hmm. dining services. Or oftentimes it's just kind of an example farm, a model, but it's not actually a teaching farm. Mm-hmm. And so this is kind of a unique because we are a teaching farm, we are an active farm, and we actually do sell product to members. I think that does make us a little bit unique in the United States.
Awesome. So just on a personal level, what would you say is your favorite program, engagement strategy, or development that you have in the works? Tough question for the manager, I guess.
That is tough. I mean, I do think that the apprenticeship is really one of the best programs that we have, that we continue to pour our energy and our hearts into. We really are passionate about seeing beginner farmers. But, you know, our vision, too, is to go beyond that, to take that to the next step. And that would be in more of a beginner farmer training. So an apprenticeship is really just getting people's hands dirty, just getting their feet wet, so to speak. It's just kind of a beginning stage. And what we'd love to see is to take those students to the next level with a beginner farmer training. And so, you know, that is in the works, and that's something that we're hoping for. And hopefully we'll see that come about in the future.
So what would you say in your experience has been the biggest challenge in your role managing the farm?
Another great question. Well, there's always weather, which you can't can't at all control or predict.
Especially in Kentucky.
That's right, especially in Kentucky. So that is a never-ending challenge, but I knew I was getting into that one when I started this job. You know, it is certainly a challenge to make the time for the things that matter. You got to take care of the plants, but you got to take care of people, too. And so trying to balance working with students, working with staff, and working with our customers and our members is a challenge, and that is also something that's a real joy for me. I really enjoy working with people, and I really enjoy the interactions we get to have with our members. And so I think that's been one of the most rewarding things.
Absolutely. So do the plants that you guys grow and distribute change year to year, or are those pretty much constant?
Yes and no, both and. So basically, we do surveys with our members every year. We want to take their opinions into account. What do they like? What are they missing? They are important to us, and their voice counts to us. And so we do take into account what they want, and we try to accommodate as much as we can. Some things we just simply can't grow because of our region, our climate, but other things are difficult, and we will try them, even though they're difficult. Example of that is celery. You know, celery is not always easy, but we're going to try to grow it this year. Mm-hmm. We had interest in rhubarb. So this year we are planting rhubarb in the hopes of having a harvest in the next couple years. So we do take that into account. We're trying to always expand our offerings and change it up a little bit. But you're always going to have your staples. You're always going to have the tomatoes and the corn and the beans and the squash. It's just never going to go away. Mm-hmm. They're staples, are tried and true. And we just get to have some fun by picking out new varieties, always trying to see what has better flavor and what grows better and what fruit has better quality. So we're always looking for the next best item, I guess you could say.
Absolutely. So what are the sort of logistics of the timeline? I know that there's the obvious growing season, but what's the rest of the year like?
Sure. Well, we actually get started with our CSA in January. That's when we start our plants in the greenhouse. Mm-hmm. So the early spring, late winter, early spring is really a lot of greenhouse work. It's also a lot of time to do the administrative work that you really don't have time for in the growing season. It's when you do the bulk of your planning, figuring out the supplies you need, figuring out your crop rotation, figuring out what exactly you are going to grow. So all of that happens in the winter, and it's also a lot of time for maintenance, you know, looking to our tractors and our other equipment and giving them tune-ups in the winter. So all of that's got to happen. But then as we kind of move through spring, things really start to pick up. We're having to do a lot of field work, field preparation. So there's a lot of work you do out in the field to get the fields ready with the tractors, cultivation, spading, and that sort of thing. And then we start planting as early as, I would say, April 1. We've already got plants in the ground right now. Last week we were planting potatoes. We planted broccoli, cabbage. We planted lettuce. We planted onions. So there's a lot that's going in the ground right around this time of year. And then because our CSA doesn't start until the end of May, that's kind of how we determine the timing. So our CSA really does control our entire schedule. Mm-hmm. And so our CSA will start May 25th on Thursdays, and it'll run for 22 weeks. And so every week for those 22 weeks, we're busy just trying to stay on top of everything, staying on top of the weeds, on the irrigation when we have those hot, dry spells, harvesting usually at least 2 days a week to fulfill our shares for our members, and then delivering them to our members. And then, of course, always the cleaning and the maintenance that has to happen throughout the whole summer. And by October, we wind down. We actually did start last year a fall CSA program. This was new. It was a four-week season, and it was shorter and smaller. So the shares themselves maybe only had four items instead of, you know, 6 to 10 items. And because of the smaller size, it was a nice way for some members to continue on but have a little bit lighter load. And then that kind of carried us up to Thanksgiving. And then at Thanksgiving, we do Thanksgiving boxes. Again, these are things that other people in the community can buy. A Thanksgiving box you can buy might have lots of fall greens in them, or you can get a roots box, which have a lot of root crops that you might like for Thanksgiving. Things like potatoes and sweet potatoes, your winter squash, your beets, your turnips, your carrots. So they're a great way to kind of go out with the bang is the Thanksgiving boxes. And then really by Thanksgiving, we've wound down and we're kind of going into that winter lull of recoup and preparing for the next year, already looking ahead to the next.
Awesome. That sounds really amazing and really intense.
At times, yes.
So that's pretty much all I have for you in terms of operations and everything. I just want to give you an opportunity to sort of plug how people can get involved or how they can find you.
Absolutely. You can definitely find us on social media, on Instagram. You can follow us. UK CSA. We are also on Facebook. Just Google us if you're interested. You can find us by Googling University of Kentucky Community Supported Agriculture. We're on Facebook. Our website is through the University of Kentucky, the College of Ag website. So if you're interested, you can find us there. Look us up for Sustainable Ag and the CSA program through Sustainable Agriculture. Also, any student at the University of Kentucky who might be interested in learning about agriculture and seeing what this all is all about and how we can work towards sustainability on our farms in the future can definitely get more information about our course, SAG 397. Talk to your advisor. We'd love to have anyone who might be interested.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much for coming on. I think that the work that y'all are doing out there is really awesome and really important. So thanks so much for doing it and taking the time, but also taking the time to come get the word out.
Yeah. Thank you, Lauren, for having us. This
Absolutely.
Is great.
So just for some closing announcements, Earth Days in the Bluegrass is in full swing. You can find a complete calendar of sustainable events around campus and Lexington at uky.edu/sustainability/EDBG. As always, any member of the University of Kentucky community can submit a proposal to the Student Sustainability Council to receive funding support from the Environmental Stewardship Bee. All SSC meetings are open to the public and are announced on our website. You can also like the SSC on Facebook or follow them on Twitter at UKYSSC. I'll be around next week for another installment of Green Talks. That will be the last of the semester. Very upsetting, but we will be back in the fall. Until then, thanks for listening. Keep locked.
Hey there. If you're enjoying this podcast from WRFL Lexington, you may enjoy our live radio stream at WRFL.fm and, of course, via radio at 88.1 FM in the Central Kentucky area. We have a wide variety of programs you're sure to enjoy. Just go to WRFL.fm/schedule and see what programs appeal most to you. Thanks again for listening to this podcast from WRFL Lexington.